Hi, this is Rachel from Artist Soar. Stephanie, Julie, and I are taking some time off this holiday season to be with our families. Please enjoy listening to this best of episode.
Hello and welcome to Artist Soar. This is a podcast for artists by three artists. We discuss all aspects of being artists, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The goal of each podcast is to provide solutions so artists can focus on their creativity and soar above. I'm Rachel Harshenko.
Jules McCullough.
Stephanie Weaver.
Saul Bass once said, "Design is thinking made visual." So we're going to be having a special guest today, and Jules McCullough. Jules has met her, so she's going to do the introduction today.
Thank you, Rachel. So we are so happy to have Jess Miller with JessMillerDraws.com here with us. And we are going to chat about the wonderful platform Instagram. And I say that a little sarcastically. Just like it, and some don't.
It's a love-hate thing.
Yes, it is. We all love it and we all hate it all at the same time. Yeah. And I really consider Jess to be the queen bee of Instagram. She's grown her account substantially in the last couple of years. And I met her through Logan Elliott with Flammable Entrepreneur. And I'm so happy to have met Jess. So I will turn it over to her for a full introduction, and then we'll get started on our topic today.
Hi, everyone. I'm so happy to be here. I'm Jess of Jess Miller Draws. I'm a designer turned illustrator. So my background is in toy package design. So for the past 15 years, I designed a ton of different toy packages. And then during the pandemic, I lost my job. So I picked up digital illustration, and that became my new passion and my new career. And I really used Instagram to leverage my creative business and to all my marketing and to find clients. And so it's been this really strong asset. So I like to talk to other artists and tell them that you can still have fun on social media and also really use it as a strong marketing tool.
So that's there are a lot of things that came out of the pandemic that are really good. And I'm glad that really worked out for you. I'm sure it was a really kind of hard transition in the beginning.
Yes. I was also a new mom. So my daughter was born late 2019. And then, And so then I was ready to go back to work in March 2020. And then I got a call that was like, don't bother showing up. You know, everything's shut down and we're not bringing back any more contract designers. And so, it was really hard because that was basically my only creative outlet was my job. Like I didn't really have, you know, hobbies and that kind of thing. And so it was devastating and it was kind of scary too. I was like, well, where do I go from here? And how long are we going to be shut down? There was just so many questions. And my sister gave me her old iPad and she's like, why don't you just draw for fun? Just like, you know, you have downtime while the baby's asleep. So I'm like, okay. So I started drawing in Procreate and I didn't know what I was doing. And so I took Skillshare classes and I learned so much. Like they were just really like relaxed and easy to follow. And there was a project. And so and, you know, they were usually like an hour or two long. So they were just like bite-sized enough. And I just loved finishing a project and I was really proud of it. So I made this Instagram account in August of 2020, Jess Miller Draws. And I was just sharing my art. And I'm like, this is what I made in my Skillshare class. And so it was awesome. And it was also around the time of all the like Inktober and all the October themed drawing challenges. And so I just was like thirsty for drawing. I was like, I need to like jump in on these challenges and join in. And so I created this little series of like spooky themed illustrations, just following the different Inktober prompts. And it wasn't until the following year, like a few months later in February, American Greetings reached out and they're like, we love this series. Like, do you want to make a greeting card like based on this artwork? And that was the first time like a major company like approached me about my illustrations, not just like design work. And I was kind of, I thought it was fake at first. I was like, this can't be real. And then I like Googled that. I'm like, oh, I'm art director. I'm like, okay, this is a real person. And that really established this long lasting relationship I have with American Greetings. And yeah, and it all was because they found me on Instagram. They found some of my earliest work on Instagram, which is crazy.
So yeah, I was going to ask you, that just seems like, I don't know, something in a rom-com movie that you would see. But like from March to October, that's a long time, and especially with a baby. And you were just like, I love it that I feel like your mindset was so positive, but was it? I mean, is that the, I mean, I'm looking down onto it, but it seems like, wow, girl, you pulled yourself up by your I was going to say bootstraps, but by your pens and by your
style. I did. No, yeah, I really did. Cause I didn't really know like where my career was going to go like during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I had all this extra time and I was like, well, I might as well like learn a new skill or, you know, learn something new, see what will happen. And honestly, I just wanted to like share my art and my projects in the beginning. I didn't even have like this illustration career in mind. But then like once companies started reaching out to me, I was like, okay, like they're interested in my art. Like I can do this as a side thing. And so for most of 2021, I was kind of moonlighting. I was like contracting design work. And then I was at night, I would freelance. And then I was also a mom. So I was like working myself to death, which is not like healthy. I don't recommend it.
I think we've really all stressful. Been there at some point.
Yeah, we do what we need to do. Yeah.
But it wasn't until I actually like officially like lost my job. I think it was October 2021. They just were going through a bunch of layoffs at Hasbro and they were like, you know, this is sorry, but you're a contractor, you're disposable. So they got rid of me. And then that kind of gave me like, that was like really, really the point where I was like, okay, this is the part where I like kind of jump off the cliff and go into this illustration world. And like, this is my time, you know, to really make a career. And I was going to say it was kind of scary. Like it was like feast or famine, you know, like freelance illustration. It's like, sometimes you get a lot of jobs, client jobs, and then sometimes you don't. And so in those first couple of months, it was last year. So 2022, I was like officially on my own in just illustration. And I had some really rough months from January to March. And I realized like that for me is my slow season. I talked to other artists and they're like, oh, summer is slow for me. And so, but everybody has their slow season. And that seems to be kind of like the slow area for me. And I think it was around March, April is when Logan reached out to me and we started working together like officially in May. And then and that really changed everything. Like he like really held me accountable and we set actionable goals. And you know, I was doing a lot more client outreach and he helped me build my confidence in pricing. So I was able to like ask more when I thought like, oh, I'm not good enough. I don't know. Am I experienced enough? But he's like, no, you are. And you can ask for more. And so he really gave me the confidence to do that. And that was really like when my income like tripled like over time. So, and it was just from illustration. And he really helped me also diversify my income streams. So it wasn't just client work I was relying on. I had a Skillshare class, you know, where I'm making passive income and I have a licensed collection with Casetify. And so it, that really helped. And so if you're looking for a coach or motivation, yes, or you need that extra thing in your life, I would suggest Logan Elliott for the Flammable Entrepreneur.
Yeah, he's been great. Just keeping you accountable, I think, is a key for growing and finding success. So, absolutely. You know, I love your story. It came out of a negative situation and turned so positive. And I mean, like Rachel said, I'm sure your outlook was not always positive because we're human, but to have a young child and really a new child and grow a business in this short period of time, which really is a short period. Mm-hmm. What are you most proud of in your recent successes?
Wow. Yeah.
I never even would have thought to ask you this question pre-podcast. So I apologize for really
putting you on the spot. No, it's okay. But
just hearing your story makes me want to know that question. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I am really proud that I did grow my Instagram account. So it's basically I started from zero and now it's almost like I think 92,000.
92,000.
Yeah.
91,000. That's wow. Amazing. Plus, I got to say, your Instagram is gorgeous.
Thank you.
Yeah. So anyway, yes.
And you know, it's not just for like vanity purposes, not just saying like, oh, you know, I just want that amount of followers. No, it's like way more than that. I tell people like I've made really like strong connections with other artists and we've built a community and I host like drawing challenges. And so for me, it goes like much deeper and I even like meet up with other artists like in real life. I'm like, hey, if like you're in the Los Angeles area, let's grab a cup of coffee. And so I've just really like deepen those connections and people are like really sweet. They like reach out on DMs and they're like, I found your story so inspiring and I'm a big fan of your work and I followed you from the very beginning. And it's just like, it's really sweet to like hear that. And so, yeah, I don't know. I think that's one of my biggest accomplishments. Yeah. And another one, like I finally filed all the paperwork. So Jess Miller Draws is the S Corp. So it's an official company.
That's awesome.
So I have to set up like a bank account, but I did like the hard part. I did like all the paperwork stuff. So
that's great.
Yeah, that's really exciting. It's like an official thing.
Yay.
That's really exciting. That's good that you're celebrating that. A lot of people don't celebrate that.
Yeah, I mean,
all this paperwork and you're like, now what? But it's a big thing.
I was telling my husband, I'm like, I'm the CFO. I'm the CEO of my own company.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's wonderful. And that's a great attitude to have about it, too. It's, you know, it's a real company. Mm-hmm. Earning an income and working hard to grow and nurture those relationships. I mean, you can't ask for anything better.
Yeah.
From that standpoint, that's just exciting.
So I get to do what I love. I mean, like, I mean, for me, probably like if you asked me 10 years ago, like what I thought I'd be doing, it'd probably be like, oh, I'm going to be a design manager at this company. And now I'm like, that's like the worst thing I think I could do in my life. I'm like working for somebody else and like pushing pixels. Like I worked for a very long time in corporate licensing products for like particularly for Disney. And so they have their own style guides. They have their own character art. And so it's a lot of times it's like you're just given these assets and then you get to like lay it out. And like that's the only kind of creative freedom you have. And for a long time, like I thought that was going to be my life, you know, like that was going to be what I was going to do. And kind of wasn't until I was like forced to like change directions that I was like, oh, this is this illustration career where I get to create my own art is so much better. And I end up making so much more money than I would like working for someone else.
So. But I love that you kind of had a learning curve too. Like when American Greetings reached out to you. And then I know you're still learning. You never quit. There's always something you haven't done, but what are some kind of not basic, but what are some of the learning curves that you did learn that maybe some other artists could learn from you?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. It's like, I actually learned a lot from the design world because it was like the flip side. Like I would hire illustrators to illustrate package design for me. And so I would art direct them and that kind of thing. And now it's kind of flipped. So now, you know, brands and art directors are hiring me to illustrate. And so I feel like that experience was very valuable. Like I'm glad, you know, I went through that and I learned all that. Yeah, but things to learn, I think asking questions, because a lot of times in the very beginning, I signed on with an agent and I thought, oh, this is my golden ticket. You know, he's my agent. He's going to find me jobs. And it was not the case. And I hear that all the time with artists. Like, some artists have really good relationships with their agents. And I'm like, that's great. That's awesome. But a lot of times I hear them when I ask them, honestly, I'm like, what do you really think about working with an agent? And they're like, it kind of sucks. Like, they don't find me any work and they take my money and for my projects. And so I tell people, like, if you want to go down that route, just ask questions, like just be upfront and say, like, what are you going to bring to the table for me? Like, this is a partnership. So, like, what are you going to do? Are you going to do marketing for me? Like, just be very blatant with it so that, you know, I guess, like. And that goes for like anything in the project too, because you can agree to like an illustration project and then later on you find out like all these details and they want more revisions and all these extra things. And I think if you kind of establish these boundaries up front and ask questions ahead of time, it'll save you so much work down the road.
I love what you said something really, sorry. I was going to say, you said something very important, and that was establish boundaries.
Yeah. I think in the beginning too, like, I was so green. I just wanted to like accept any job that they had. And they're like, you know, they would have me jump through hoops sometimes to do like this simple illustration. And I think it's important to tell illustrators, like, it's okay to establish boundaries and say like up front and just be like, you get 3 rounds of revisions. You get X amount of sketches, like, this is like all you get. And then you have to make a decision, you know, like,
right. Yeah.
And then if they want more, just be like, I charge hourly after that kind of thing. Right. So they know.
You're defining the terms and conditions. And I also like one of the things that you said, where you are encouraging artists to ask the questions. And I had this thought the other night, like, all of us seem to want to go after galleries and agents. And yeah. There is this aspect that I think that they are forgetting, that it is a partnership. And when they ask, for example, I know an artist that is going after a gallery, the first thing that the gallery asks them is, how many followers do you have? Well, you know what? I haven't decided whether you're going to be good enough for me. How many followers do you have?
Yeah, I know. And exactly. I've talked to a lot of artists where, you know, they got turned down for a surface pattern design collection from a company because they didn't have enough followers on Instagram. And I think that's to me, bullshit. I'm sorry. I'm like, and they're so talented and they have such great art, but they probably expect them to promote it on their Instagram. And so that's why I want to empower artists. And I want to say, you can leverage this platform just like I did. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can like, and I teach it too. I hosted a webinar with Good Type last year. And then I was a speaker in their Kern Friends conference. And I'm working on my own workshop that I can hopefully record and upload and share to other artists. But basically the first step I tell artists when they say, like, how can I really use Instagram? Like, how can I leverage it for my creative business? I say the first step is really to curate your feed and do a self-evaluation. So, you know, I treat Instagram like a second portfolio. So I show the best of the best. Like, it is my A game. You know, I don't show, I love my family, but I save that for a separate account. You know, rarely will you see a photo of my husband and my daughter because it's not a part of my business. And if you think about it, like, if this was your website, would you have a random photo of your dog on your portfolio? Probably not. I mean, unless he was like some aspect of, you know, art that you created.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, you probably wouldn't. So, I tell artists, like, you really have to like treat it like a second portfolio. And a lot of artists forget about keywords. There are keywords in Instagram. And your name is one of them. So I use my full name and what I do, Jess Miller Draws. So when artists find it, you know, when they are searching for drawing, you know, it pops up right away along with my name. And then in my bio, I say exactly what I do and what I specialize in. And so I know a lot of artists that don't even like put their names. So it just says like Pixie Fairy 384. It's like that. that doesn't tell the art director much, you know, like they need a name, you know, to go with it. And it's super helpful to just tell them like exactly what you do. I specialize in illustration and character portraits and surface pattern design.
Yeah, so, I like that you have a very defined bio. I'm looking at your Instagram as we're talking. Yeah. And like you said, it is curated. And I didn't think about the keywords. That's a great thing. And then the good bio.
So I do have a question. When you mentioned curating, and you're from the beginning, I feel like you've curated your account very well on Instagram. How do you think through that? Are you working in collections? Because you also mentioned that you only show the best of the best.
Yeah.
So are you working more in a collection of 9 pieces so that when it goes up, or 12 pieces, whatever, you know, divisible by 3, so that when it goes up there, it appears curated and is curated? Or are you just saving things up for when you do have a full collection, I guess?
You know, I definitely give it some thought, and I tend to use like consistent color palettes. So all my colors are really bold and saturated, and there's not a lot of white in my art. And so I think that helps a lot, is like when you kind of just like evaluate color and like your use of color, and using a flexible color palette. So I use one that's usually, I don't know, anywhere from like 10 to 12 colors, and that all seem to like go well harmoniously together. And I'll like switch it out kind of seasonally, and it kind of flows together. So like all my Halloween art was kind of cohesive, and then it kind of flowed into the Christmas art. And so,
right.
Yeah, I kind of change it out by season. But I also use, a similar brush palette. So I don't really waver much from that. And it's always like a red flag when a client like comes up to me and they're like, I love your style. Like, can you do a watercolor illustration? And I'm like, do you see any watercolor in my portfolio? I'm like, I'm probably not the right artist for you.
Right.
So that's always like a red flag. When I tell artists when they're asking for something that they don't see in your work, doesn't mean you can't do it, but you know, it's probably not like your specialty. So
how many pieces a week, a day, whatever you want to classify it as, a month, are you creating, do you think?
You know, that's tough, because a lot of times I'll do client work and then I can't share it to like sometimes up until like a year or more. And so then I'll remember like, oh, that's out on shelves. I can, you know, share that now. And so okay. I'll do that a lot of times, and I'll repurpose a lot of art. So, you know, things that like the concept was good, or the quote, you know, that I lettered, it was a good quote, but maybe I just want to change up the style and improve. I'll just redraw it and then add new elements. I've done that a lot. And, that's another. So like artists are like, how do you like pump out so much work? And it's like, well, I redraw a lot of it. And then I also kind of say like, you know, like, oh, maybe I had one illustration that was maybe it was of like lemons. It was a little lemon motif. But I'm like, OK, well, I'll make this into a pattern. So I'll break apart the elements and make it into a repeating pattern. And then maybe I'll add a quote and like squeeze the day. So it's kind of like a themed collection.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, more cohesive. And it's something that art directors like too. They like looking at collections, and they like to see like a mini series. So.
Okay. That's a great tip.
So I had a question. So how often, so I know you're doing your own stuff, and like you said, where you're like, oh, I can show that now. Like, how often does that happen? Or have you like gone for a while and like, dadgummit, I need to have shown this already. You know, like, I don't know, like when you have something that was like your Ellen, like you have some great things that had happened to you, like it pops out and then you're like, oh my gosh, it's here and I can start sharing it. So
yeah, I think in the beginning it was the most difficult, because I think I wanted to share, you know, my American greeting cards right away. But those came out like sometimes 2 years, like
oh my gosh,
a long time. So, and also like I just don't get samples for them. So I just kind of have to constantly like check the shelves and see kind of like when it is. So I think that was kind of the hardest part. And then the more companies I work with, the more it's like, okay, like I can kind of plan it out ahead of time and I schedule it into my content calendar. So I kind of know now like, okay, I got to share this and market this. And I also tell people that another way to share more art is to share your process. And a great way is to share in a reel. And I know a lot of artists are like, I don't like reels and I don't like dancing and pointing at words. And I'm like, you don't have to do that. I rarely show my face. And like, I'm just now getting like more used to like speaking and doing more talking head. But I just
show my face. You don't want to shake your booty?
No, I'm like, I don't want to dance. But but yeah, I just show my hands and I show drawing a piece. And then a lot of artists are like, how do you sit there and film yourself drawing? And I'm like, I don't. I draw on my couch usually. And then when I film a reel, I'll just redraw some aspects and film it like above. So it looks better for a reel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. So you've got a setup where you can.
I do. I have like a little like lamp. It's a lamp, but it's also a phone holder and you can rotate it. It's by Shop Canvas Co. I think is their Instagram. It's a little spendy because they're about $200, but it's very stable and it's like made in the US and it's like awesome company. I know there's some that are really inexpensive, like $20 you can get on Amazon that probably do an excellent job. But even like those snake tripods, just anything to kind of like show a bird's eye view of you doing your work.
So I had a kind of a process question for you. So you say you kind of schedule out your social media and everything. What is your favorite platform to do that on? Or can you say?
I actually say it's my brain.
Do you not like?
I used to, you know, I schedule it out like by hand in my calendar. I just kind of like make a note and write. I'm very old school about that.
About that. These two are not.
It's something very visual. Like I have a desktop calendar where I write everything down and I see it. You know, sometimes I'll get notifications if it's like, you know, digital meeting, like on my Apple Watch, but sometimes I forget to wear it. And then, you know, it's like, I forget about the meeting or I forget about, you know, what I was supposed to do. So I'm very analog. Like I like to write everything out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And writing it out seems to help me remember to do it better than just like typing it out. So,
Jess, so I am your soul sister over here with this.
Yeah, I love it.
Have like an Excel sheet for everything.
I switched everything up to Socialbee. So it like totally organizes. And then when I have a particular promotion for something, then I can schedule it in there and it pop up until it's ready. And then I can remove it at a specific time of love Socialbee.
Yeah, so I you know, it's weird. I don't like to use like the schedulers just because I'm more of like a on the fly kind of person. I'm like, you know, even if I plan something out, like I might kind of the next day, like when I post it and be like, yeah, this doesn't really fit. I don't know. I'm not really feeling it. So then I hold off on it. But I do like to use certain platforms for their blogs because they do offer a lot of key information, like new features and what's trending on Instagram. So I find it like really helpful. Mm-hmm. And I subscribe to Planoly and Later Media. And they're always like every week, they're like, this is what's trending on TikTok. This is what's trending on Instagram. And so I'll usually check it out and kind of see. And I've also gotten like a ton of good tips and tricks from them. So I always tell people like, you don't have to use the scheduling app, but at least sign up for their emails and like their blog and like, you know, read over their blog so that you're kind of in the know for like what's new and like what's trending on the platform.
That's actually a really great tip.
Yeah, that is actually really good.
I know that Pinterest has something very similar where you can look at like trends that are happening on Pinterest as well.
Yeah.
So very similar to Planoly. Planoly?
I think it's Planoly.
Planoly.
Yeah.
Okay.
So far, and what was the other one again?
Yeah. It's called Later.
Later.
It's just Later. I think their Instagram's like Later Media, something like that.
Okay, I'm taking
so far, I've written down the tips are you curate your feed. Are you guys hearing all the background noise? If you are, I'm so sorry.
A little bit.
Okay, sorry. You know I'm recording. But anyway, so one is curate your feed and just kind of do a self-evaluation. Make sure that it's showing your portfolio rather than family type things, really kind of stay focused as though you would on your website. The other one is ensure that you use keywords, especially in your bio. You also mentioned, let's see, to share your process and then check out what's trending with apps or not apps, but like blogs such as Planoly and Later. What else would you recommend that artists do to help grow their Instagram feed?
Yeah, definitely use mockups. And, you know, if you're treating this like your extended portfolio, you kind of want to show art directors and brands kind of like how your artwork is applied to products in the real world. And very early on, I had a call with this gal named Lisa Hassel from Inky Goodness is her company. And she was a former art agent, but now she like runs courses and like coaches other illustrators to help them build up their business. And I just scheduled like a 90-minute pep talk with her. And this is very early on in my career. And she gave me some very honest feedback and was just like, you know, I love your work, but I don't see it applied to anything in the real world. And I told her, I was like, I'm just starting out. Like, I don't have any illustration jobs yet that I can share. And she's like, use a mockup. And I'm like, I feel like I'm lying or something. Like people think that that's actually on a mug. And she's like, no, just say like, you can even say like manifesting, hoping this turns into a real product or, you know, like just using a mockup to show you how this hand lettered piece would look on a mug. You know, you could just be honest about it. I was like, okay, so I started using mockups and they really helped kind of tie everything together and they made it look very like professional and cohesive. And they kind of took the guesswork out for art directors. They were like, oh yeah, that is perfect for a tote bag. Like I want that, you know, I'm gonna like license that out, you know? So I say it's like a no-brainer for artists, like just. And some of my favorite websites for mockups are Creative Market, and they have a ton. And I use Createsy.
Yeah, I love Createsy.
Yeah, they have Createsy, Createsy. And they have usually like a bunch of different views of the same product and like in different ways. And it's all layered, so you can like turn off layers and it's really easy and they're fairly inexpensive. They're anywhere from like $12 to $18 for a mockup. And then if you're really hard up for money, there are free sites like FreePix, which is FreePik. And I think you get like 3 free downloads a day and then you have to wait the next day to download anything else. I found some good stuff on there, but it is free. So sometimes like they don't have enough layers or the shadows are off. Like it's not like as nice as a Createsy mockup.
Yeah, I know Canva, they've recently come out with some mockup capabilities and I use placeit.net as well for some of that. And that one, I just buy an annual membership and you get unlimited mockups. It's great.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
And that's with Placeit, definitely.
Placeit.net. And then, you know, if you're already using Canva, Canva is pretty limited though. Like, yeah. I just sounded so valley. Canva is pretty limited in its capabilities to actually create the mockups because you just, put it on there, but these other ones are really pretty good.
Well, I know like as an artist, you can upload some of your work in like Gutenberg, like the
Redbubble does a good job.
Print on demand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Printify, Printful, they do a really good job with mock-up.
Yeah. Society 6 too. I think they might, and Contrato.
I think so too. Yeah.
Samples from Contrato that were really nice. They do like leather bags and all sorts of leather goods. So
what was the leather one?
Contrato.
How do you spell that? You know?
They're a print on demand site. So they are it's like Contrado, Contrato. And I think they're based in the UK. I partnered with them, and like this pillow is, I know it's a podcast, so you won't be able to see it, but it's actually like really great quality.
And it does look like a nice quality.
Yeah. And it's pretty nice. They sent me like some leather strap sandals and a leather bag. Like it was really nice stuff.
Ooh, that's creepy. Mm. Check that out.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to get some of my artwork on that. That's so cute. I love that yellow in that bag.
Very cool. So any other tips that you think you would give for growing your Instagram or finding clients on Instagram?
Yeah, I would say that the best way to like grow your community is to really like add value. And so I tell artists to participate in as many like drawing challenges and art challenges as you can, and then start hosting your own. And if you're kind of nervous about doing it by yourself, like partner up with a few artists, you know, that are similar in your background, and host a drawing challenge together, because that's really what like builds the community and the engagement.
Yeah.
Because I tell artists that, I mean, content is king. Like it's clear that Instagram is a visual platform. So you got to bring your A game like visually and bring your art, but engagement is queen. Like you got to engage with your followers. You got to comment, talk to them, share stories. And even like given like a personal background about how you created this piece, you know, it brings so much more value than just posting it like with an emoji, you know. It's just like,
right.
Like I did a drawing of a parrot, and I could have just been like, here's a green parrot, but I told this backstory that inspired it, you know. In Pasadena, like where I live, there's all these wild green parrots, and they flock in like a pack of 30 together, and they would eat all of the fruit off of my citrus trees. They completely stripped my tangerine tree. And it's so funny, because like when you talk about it to other people, they're like, oh yeah, the green parrots, like that's just like a part of everyday life. And I told this story and it was so funny. And so, and it really resonated with people, and they liked it. And so the post did really well. And I think it did well because of that little story that I told about, you know, the parrots eating all my tangerines instead of, you know, just leaving it without any kind of back history or story to tell.
One of the things that I'm loving that I'm hearing is with your Instagram, it's truly you. You're not trying to game the system. You're sharing because of your love of sharing. You're creating because of your love of creating. And that's coming through. And so that's what's bringing people in.
Yeah. I mean, I think like your followers will be the first people to call you out on your bullshit. They'll be like, oh, that is fake. That is not you. You know? So I think on this platform, you do have to be like 100% you and be authentic, you know, just be yourself.
Yeah.
Great.
No, and you were saying something earlier during the podcast, and immediately popped in my head was an art agent had said, you know, do what you love, draw what you love in the medium that you love, because that's what will come through. That's what will sell if you're doing what you love. Absolutely. And I think that's so true, because you just see the joy in it. People buy your joy. That's what she had said. People buy your joy. And
is that Lola Rogers?
Yeah. And that has resonated with me for years now, ever since I first heard that years ago. And, I love
it. It's true. Yeah. If you are excited and passionate about it And, you know, it's interesting too, like when I worked in the toy package design world, I worked for this company called Educational Insights. And every year I would work New York Toy Fair. And it's, you know, it takes place in New York City, and it's all of the toy industries from around the world set up a booth with all their products, usually like featuring like what's brand new and like brand new games and toys. And so, yeah, I did that every year for like 5 years, and I would work the floor and actually like interface with buyers and take orders. I would, you know, share like what was all the new features of the toys, and I would play the games with them. And to me, like, I was so intimate with the product, because I, you know, I wore many hats. Like, I was a designer, but I also art directed the illustrator, and then I worked with the product developer and the product designer. So I knew the ins and outs of the product better than the sales team. Like, I was coaching the sales team on like how to do it. And you know, like, and even the buyers would shout me out, and they're like, Jess is so engaging, and she's just excited about telling us about the product. And, you know, I was selling, but to me, it didn't feel like selling. It was just being a friend and like kind of just showing like my excitement and sharing my joy about the product. And I think that's kind of carried on through like my work today. Like, technically I'm selling my stuff on Instagram, but it doesn't come across as selling. Like, it's right. I'm just sharing, you know, my work and sharing what I can do and my process. And like, so yeah, I think it just comes down to sharing what you're excited about and what you're joyful about in a non-salesy way. Is much easier, I feel like, to share my personal stuff. Like, it would be really hard if I worked for like another company selling, you know, blenders or something, and I had to be like authentic about that. Like, you know what I mean?
I think so. There's probably a lot of artists out there that they want to share, but there's this hesitation of like, well, I really enjoyed it, but who cares? Type of thing. What would you tell those folks?
Yeah, I feel like that's an imposter syndrome. And, you know, we all get it from time to time. And the only thing that's holding you back is yourself. So it's like, you really have to take that leap. And it's interesting, I was reading this business book that he basically had you write out all of your biggest fears, and then like what was like the worst kind of outcome that could play out. And it was kind of, in essence, like, once you write out all your fears, and then it's kind of like voicing it out so that it won't happen. Kind of like, what is the worst that could happen if you did that? And so now I've been doing that. And so I'm like, okay, well, this is kind of how I can overcome it. And this is how this isn't going to happen, kind of thing. So, yeah, it's an interesting way to look at it.
I love that, because I've always said the word, you know, that's my question with my kids, like when they're going through school or whatever, it's like, well, what's the worst thing that can happen? They're going to say no.
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah.
Sometimes like, probably not what people want to hear, but sometimes failure is the best thing that could happen. Like, I've learned so much from my failures. Like, yeah. I posted like, so I know at the end of the year, artists do like art versus artist, and they write all their accomplishments and, you know, what happened. And I did want to share that, but then I also was like, let's keep it real. And let's like, this is not my 9 top accomplishments, and this is my 9 failures. Like, this is things that didn't pan out, things that didn't happen, you know, for whatever reason. And that post went viral. Like, people, it really resonated. It got over, I don't know, 100 comments, and people were just saying like, oh my God, thank you for being real and being vulnerable and like sharing this. Like, cause I thought I was the only one that was messing up, and it's like, no, I mess up all the time. You know, I have, you know, failures all over the place, but it's something that you learn from over time. And it's necessary. It's necessary to kind of go through those bumps in the road so that you can succeed later.
Yeah. If you're not failing, you won't know what success is, and you're certainly not taking any risks to lead you to
right. Success. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, and I love it that really you're learning that through your failures are coming your best like successes.
Yeah.
like a phoenix, you know, like you never knew that where you were going to be stuck, because now you're not. It's just open, and it's so the future's so bright, you know.
It is.
and just the overall mentality, because you took it, even if you go back to the beginning of how this whole thing started, you lost your job. Mm-hmm. You turn that completely around instead of, you know, internalizing it, going, oh, woe is me, what am I going to do? And I'm sure there was a couple of those moments.
Oh, I did.
Yeah. But you pushed through it and you kept trying, yeah. You kept showing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the key. Yeah.
I love that. I really do encourage everyone to go follow Jess Miller Draws on Instagram and go look at her website, sign up for all her stuff, take her skill shares, do all her challenges, because it's really just so nice and so authentic. I've enjoyed meeting you today and learning so much about you. Like, I love it. I mean, it feels genuine, but now I know it's like you are, and you might be my soul sister because we write everything down. You should see my desk. And I'm so glad that someone at such a high level, like, writes stuff down.
I do.
And this is my first time meeting you, and I'm so glad that Julie brought you to us.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, right. Thanks so much for having me. This is such a pleasure just chatting with friends.
Yep. Now, I'm so appreciative of your time, and I'm so glad you shared your story with everyone. So thank you for that.
And we'll put all your links on our show notes. So make sure that you go and check her out. And the show notes will also outline all the things that she recommends. So you don't have to scribble it down like we did.
Yep. I took like 2 pages of notes.
Awesome.
Okay, guys. Well, until next time.
Thanks for listening to Artists Soar,
a podcast for artists by artists. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us at hello@artistsoar.com.
And be sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so that you can get more of us and we can bring in some sponsors to help you and help us.